Lord God, we recognize you as the creator of all things and the giver of every life. As each person has been designed in your image, you stamp significance into our very DNA. And we are of value simply because we exist. We are of worth because you have loved us enough to send your Son to die in our place. Help us to believe this and help us to apply what we believe about people to our behavior toward them, that we may live with compassion, justice, and respect for all. From the youngest to the oldest, to the mentally or physically challenged, every human being of his breath, from conception through death, we believe life is sacred. And yet, while this is true, approximately 1.3 million pregnancies are voluntarily ended each year in America through abortion. Since that court decision in 1973, close to 50 million innocent children have died. And an untold number of those have suffered the anguish of being involved and affected by that experience. We confess the sin of our society, of our nation, one that discards its children due to fear, greed, ignorance, and convenience. Have mercy on us, Lord. Give our leaders the courage and wisdom to bring an end to the killing. And we acknowledge that together we have become desensitized and numb. Help them to recognize all the other acceptable choices in this debate. Contraception, adoption, abstinence, good parenting. Show us again that the best choice is life. And help those who have endured abortions to turn to Christ, that they might know the freedom of his forgiveness and the tenderness of his healing. Fill us with understanding for those who felt they faced no other option. Enlarge our thinking also, Lord, to realize that concerns for the sanctity of life are not limited to abortion. We seek to resist the pressures to euthanize the disabled, the diseased, and the aged. We cry out for the mercy to choose wisely when heartbreaking decisions confront us for the care of our own loved ones. As believers, we would not hasten death unnaturally and take for ourselves a right which is yours alone. Yet neither do we desire to prolong dying in pain. For with the hope of the resurrection you have given us in your Son, we have no terror of death or fear for it. We have no need to cling to every last breath in this world. Help us to have your wisdom. Help us to navigate that path that we should.
It's as though Jesus has you covered, if you want an image for this, and the Father now looks at you and sees you, or sees rather him, as substituting for you, standing in your place. There's a changed position that comes with this new creation. And it also involves a changed condition. A changed condition. And by that I mean that inwardly, again, by an act of God, you are no longer the same person. Spiritually, through faith, at your conversion, correct our vision on who and what we are as believers. Now, one important thing that Paul adds in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, is that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. There's another word picture out of that text. And let's open that up and unpack it a little bit together. What does that mean? It means we have a mandate to represent Christ. To represent Christ. Just think for a moment about what an ambassador does, who they are. An ambassador holds a very high diplomatic post. But that does not mean the ambassador makes up the policy of the nation that posts him or her to the job. In fact, it really is the job or the task of the ambassador to embody and personify the will and character of the regime that sent them. In other words, the American ambassadors around the world literally are supposed to be the personification of what America is and wants and does. In a similar way, we, the church, are the physical stand-ins for Jesus in this world. We serve as his proxy presence. As his body, we are meant to speak his words, do his deeds, and advance his cause. We represent Christ, and at the heart of that representation is a mission of reconciliation. A mission of reconciliation, verse 19. Paul says of God, he's committed to us the message of reconciliation, which was that God in Christ was making it possible to forgive the sins of the world. And that, in a nutshell, friends, is who and what we are, at least in terms of our role. We have been sent to a world that rebelled against God as envoys of peace. We extend to them terms of a gospel, good news, that offers pardon to those who will submit to the Lord and seek his forgiveness. Now, God doesn't negotiate with sinners. That's not the picture here at all. But in his grace and might, the God who one day will judge those who remain in rebellion to them offers them a way home. And he did all of the hard work and paid the entire price of the peace treaty. For through the death of his son on the cross, God was reconciled to us. And able, because he put our sins on Christ, not to hold sin against those who receive him. So our diplomatic portfolio, friends, is this. It's to be evangelists and witnesses. To share with others how we were reconciled to God through faith in Christ and invite them to be reconciled. Paul uses the word beg, urge, plead them with them to be reconciled too. I've always enjoyed this picture of the church. The church is an outpost of heaven on earth. We're kind of like the consulate or the embassy building of the kingdom of God in which those who are trying to defect from the tyranny of sin should be able to find asylum. That's what we are. And you may be thinking for a moment, well, this is a bit of a side, you know, road, isn't it here? What's the connection between all of this and this identity issue or question? Here's what it is. Remembering who you are in Christ, a new creation in Christ's ambassador. That's the picture that Paul wants you to walk away with today. If you belong to the Lord, that's who you are and how you need to see yourself. A new creation in Christ's ambassador. You see, you're not just a whoever or a whatever, a nondescript so-and-so. Don't you feel that way sometimes? I mean, how many people are there in the world? 5 billion plus? Don't seem real significant, do we? But you're a new creation. You're the ambassador of Christ. That's meaning. And you've been recreated to fulfill heaven's mission of experiencing eternal life and calling others to that blessing. It is You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Isn't that amazing? What's he doing? He's saying, think before you sin next time. And remember who you are. How can you give in? Why would you give in? You can't let yourself be used for evil. Jesus paid his lifeblood for you. You don't belong to you anymore. And you are his temple. The Spirit of God literally dwells in you. Why would you want to be used for evil? Claim your identity is what he's saying. Be what you are. Reminds me a little bit of some conversations I've had with our kids from time to time. Ever had a child say to you something like this? Well, their parents let them do this. And my answer is, that's wonderful. But they're not your parents. And in our house, this is who we are. This is how we live. This is part of our identity. That's the end of the discussion here. Live up to it. That's in simple about the same. John does the same thing in his letter, 1 John 5:18. He doesn't put the question in it that Paul does. But he says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin in the sense of habitually, regularly, practicing sin. The one who is born of God, now that refers to Jesus, keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. What strength it brings in the face of temptation to remember who you are and whose you are. There are reminder questions. In other places, you'll find the Holy Spirit using reminder prayers. He uses prayers to remind us of who and what we are. The apostle's heartfelt request is that believers will finally get it when it comes to their identity. Paul prays, and may the eyes of your heart be opened that you would understand. Or here's another example from Ephesians 3:16. I with a little bit of Jesus inside. That's a tough way to live, isn't it? Because you still kind of feel that everything is bound by the old deal. You know, Jesus is trapped within, and it's not going real far, real fast. That picture, like I said, it doesn't exist. That person is simply not a reality. Let's go to the next one. I want to enlarge a little bit on the diagram kind of the Christian, the one who is in Christ, under him, covered by his righteousness. In reality, what we're going to see in the next message in this series is not only are you in Christ, but get this, Jesus or Christ is in you through the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like he's got you coming and going in a good sense, right? Covered in both directions. And now, sin is the minor player here. Sin is not what you are. Sin is a part of your identity. It's still there in the old self and in the flesh, but you've got it outnumbered and cornered, don't you? In Christ, and Christ in you. That new perspective, that new understanding can make all the difference in how you're going to live. Ephesians 5:8 says, you were once darkness, but now you are, say it with me, light in the Lord. Live as children of light. It's time to agree with who God says you are. Amen? You're not the old, the same old, the same old. You're in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Father, this morning, my first prayer would be that indeed, all of us in this room can say that we are in Christ. We have received Him as Savior and Lord. We have accepted His righteousness in behalf of our unrighteousness. If not, I pray, Father, you might speak to the heart of the one that is still seeking and searching, maybe waiting and hesitating, and ask that this might be the morning, the moment when they open their heart and call upon you to save them. And I pray, Father, for the many of us here who we know that we've taken that step, we've given our life to Christ Jesus. He is in us. But maybe we've never really understood or even realized that we are also in Him. And this morning it is my prayer that you will open our eyes to see and to understand what that means. That in Christ we are a new creation. We have a changed position. You see us no longer as what we were. You see us in the righteousness of your Son, forgiven and pardoned. But we also have been given a changed condition. We aren't what we were. The old is gone, the new has come. And now inwardly, because of you, there is a new potential, a new opportunity, a new possibility to defeat sin, to live righteous, to live in righteousness, to become more like Christ. And I would ask, Lord God, that today you would help us to claim that identity, that we would begin to see ourselves as you see us, and get rid of the old false filters that sometimes hold us back, that have crippled us from the very start, because we've not appreciated the resources, the transformation, and the power we have in you. Lord, help us to narrow that gap between who you see us to be and what we are. Lord, may